Hong Kong Advanced Level Examination, Use of English, Section A, Listening Test 2011. Instructions to candidates. You should have on your desk a question answer book. Do not open it until you are told to do so. I repeat, do not open the question answer book until you are told to do so. Now, write your candidate number in the space provided on page 1 of the question answer book. Now check through your question answer book and make sure it has no missing pages. Look for the words end of test on the last page. Now stick your barcode labels in the spaces provided on pages 1, 3 and 5. You are reminded that all examination materials will be played once only. The test is divided into three parts. You should use a pencil to write your answers for all three parts. At the end of the examination, when you're told to stop, put down your pencil and close your question answer book. You may not leave the examination room until you are instructed to do so at the end of the examination session. Put your hand up now if you have any difficulties. The test is about to begin. Keep your earphones on until you are told to take them off. Now look at page 2 of your question answer book.
Introduction. Situation. A new international supermarket chain called Ecost is planning to develop an area of farmland near the rural village where you live. You are Chris Wong, and you and some fellow residents have been invited by a local protest group to visit one of the chain's supermarkets, which has already been built near a village called Pak Thai.
The purpose of the visit, led by two activists called Bob and Sally, is to make you more aware of the possible negative impact of supermarkets on the local and global economy and environment.
You are required to make notes and do various tasks based on a recording you made of the visit and some visual materials you were shown. Part 1. In this part, you'll hear the activists talking about the goods and services offered by the supermarket and how it promotes itself to consumers. You now have 2.5 minutes to familiarize yourself with the note headings for Part 1. At the end of Part 1, you'll have 2.5 minutes to tidy up your answers.
Well, here we are. A short minibus ride from Pak Thai Village. What do you notice about the area, Alice?
Well, they've cleared a lot of the land around it.
Do you see that, Sam?
Yeah, Bob. There seems to be plenty of space.
And the car park's huge.
Hmm. But can you see those empty plots on either side of the store? They're significant because Ecost owns that land too and can later expand into it.
I guess one advantage is that it's accessible by public transport.
Not true.
But the minibus we came
on... is private. We didn't actually pay for it, which is just as well, as we're a good kilometre from the nearest KMB stop, further still from the MTR. OK, folks, ready to enter Ecostopia? Before we go in, though, why don't you tell them about the name, Sally?
Yes. Ecost, as a name, is not just an accident. For a start, you can shop online at Ecost, hence the E.
Oh, I see. E-shopping. That's clever.
Yes, immensely. Then, if you take the first three letters, you have Eco, and if you look at the promotional material for the supermarket, you'll see it describes itself as eco-friendly. As we'll find out, though, Ecost can hardly describe itself as eco-friendly, given the way it exploits the environment.
And then, of course, there's the word cost, which is related to the idea of prices. Ecost advertises itself as offering the most economical goods in town. So you can put economical as the third message the store wants to communicate.
There's also a hidden meaning in the name, which the store might want to communicate to some, but not to others. And that is, Ecost is an anagram of one of the largest supermarket chains in the world.
What's an anagram?
Well, if you rearrange the letters in the word Ecost to make a new word, that's an anagram. But you must use all the letters in the word Ecost, and I mean all the letters. Don't drop any, or add any new ones.
Okay, I think I've got it.
So, let's go into the supermarket lobby. Now, what's the first thing you become aware of when you enter the store?
Well, the two security posts, I guess.
Well spotted. They're right in front of us.
Yes, you can't miss them. They're in a very dominant position. And there, to the left, you've got the newsstand. So, mini newsagents, if you like. A sort of 7-Eleven.
Now, there, to the immediate right of the security posts, is the tobacco shop. A complete range of cigarettes and even some cigars for special occasions. And next to that, the wine shop. Wine of every colour and variety. Beer and spirits, too. Don't worry, though. Ecost cares about your health because there, beyond the security posts and to the left, is the pharmacy.
Prescription pills if you have liver problems, nicotine gum.
Smokers and drinkers welcome any time of the day here. You may not be at a legal drinking and smoking age yet, but it's just around the corner. And Ecost is ready to capitalise on that as soon as it can.
Another thing you're almost eligible for is an ATM card. And look!
There, in that wall behind the security posts.
But to the right again, at the back of the lobby, is an ATM machine, which takes the Ecost Premium card, the store's own bank card.
Yes, there's a number of messages being conveyed here, even though we're only a few feet into the store. The first is, we don't trust you.
Yeah, I get that feeling that I'm not trusted, but I'm not sure how.
It's the positioning of the security posts. The first thing you see when you come in. Big Brother Ecost is watching you.
Another message is, we'll make you sick and then cure you.
How do you mean?
Well, we'll make you sick, respiratory disease and worse from cigarettes at the tobacco store, headaches from drinking too much beer from the wine shop, but then we'll cure you asthma pills and aspirin from our pharmacy.
The next message is slightly more subtle. We offer cosy uniformity.
It's certainly uniform, but I'm not sure I'd call it cosy.
The uniformity doesn't just come from the cheerful staff uniforms. Stripes are in it, seems. And baseball caps are cool, providing they're not worn backwards. Except in December, of course, which is the month of the desultory Santa hat.
What about the ATM machine? Surely that's not saying anything except get your cash here.
Actually, it and all the X percent off signs are saying a lot more than that. Whether it's the convenience of having a cash dispenser in the store itself, or that all the goods appear to be at bargain prices, the message is the same. We'll help you buy what you don't need.
You may think that sounds a bit cynical and that surely you need the things you come here to buy, but...
Ask anybody at the checkout whether they really need everything they have in their baskets, and I bet they'll think twice about some of the things.
But e-cost is basically about food, though, isn't it?
That's its mainstay and how it and other supermarkets started. But if you look at the signs hanging from the ceiling, you'll see that it also has a baby products division. Everything from powdered milk to pushchairs and sleeping cots. Next to that is a section where you can buy nice, comfy sofas and armchairs to sit on. And starting from next month, you can buy plastic chairs and tables for the garden or the roof, if you have one.
Yes, and if you want to read a magazine or a newspaper on your roof come Sunday morning, of course you can pick one up from the newsstand here.
I prefer books myself. I don't see any of those around.
Not yet, perhaps. But eCost have just done a deal with some distributors, which means they'll soon be able to sell paperbacks, though only the top 10% of bestsellers.
Speaking of reading, look, there's a range of reading lamps on the shelf over there. Goodness me, there's everything you need here, from the simplest bulb to the most tasteless chandeliers. What an illuminating display.
And how would you like an eCost pod? Or a digital music system.
But do they sell CDs?
Of course. But just the top 10% of rubbish, though.
Is there a clothes section? In Britain and the States, supermarkets sell a huge range of garments.
Unfortunately for eCost, some of the big-name clothing stores blocked eCost's application for a clothing license. So it doesn't look like the store will be selling any products of that kind in the foreseeable future. Hey, watch out.
Whoops. Well done, Chris. I hope that wasn't a Ming Dynasty cup.
Don't worry. There are no quality products in this store. But isn't it great, though? Not only will eCost provide you with food, but also the plates to eat it on.
And if you happen to knock over the sauce bottle and spoil your eCost cut-price cotton table cloth, you can wash it in the cut-price eCost washing machine. Or at least you will be able to when they start stocking washing machines later on this year.
With so many things targeted at your home, it only makes sense that eCost are planning to go into the property market and offer loans and mortgages to loyal shoppers. They don't have permission from the government to do so yet, but it'll only be a matter of time.
Yes. Just imagine how sturdy an eCost property would be. I wouldn't want to be in one in a typhoon, I have to say. All that low-cost furniture blowing away on a number 10 wind.
No need to worry, though. One thing eCost does offer already is insurance for those belongings.
And I noticed an ad for travel insurance near the door. Does the store offer that too?
It certainly does. And if it could, eCost would go into the travel and holiday business too. Only the Hong Kong Association of Travel Agencies have campaigned against it, saying that it will destroy competition in the region. So it's unlikely that eCost will be offering package tours anytime soon.
One thing you could do until recently was get your holiday photos developed here. But they discovered that most people just use the technology they have at home to look at their pictures.
And are those SIM cards for sale too? Can you get mobile phones as well?
No, I don't think the store thinks it's worthwhile to enter that market.
How about that reception area over there? Is that where the managers work?
No, it's where Ecost Legal Incorporated will open next month.
Ecost Legal Incorporated? What's that all about?
Well, just about everything, you could say. Was Grandpa a bit vague about who should inherit his fortune? Don't worry, we'll make sure it all goes to the right people, minus the legal costs, of course.
Yes, Ecost, quite simply, is life. From baby milk to bye-bye Grandpa.
Yes, think of Ecost as a sort of ecosystem.
An Ecost system?
Yes, nice one, Sam. Anyway, there are serious parallels between the way local economies function and real ecosystems. Think of a garden, for example. What are the characteristics of a rich, healthy garden?
Well, it is colourful and varied.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. First thing you notice is what it looks like. There are lots of colourful and varied flowers, roses, gladioli, and so on. A poor garden, by contrast, is dull and uniform. By uniform, I mean literally having one species only.
Uniform. Yes, you're right.
Now, a varied garden is resistant to change. That's A-N-T, not E-N-T, Chris. Resistant to climatic change, perhaps. Some plants thrive in rain. Some may perish with too much water. But you can be sure that some varieties will survive.
Our poor garden, though, with its single species, is open to disease. Disease can quickly ravage a garden that depends on one species. And if it does recover, and you can write this down next in the poor garden column, it recovers slowly, ever so slowly.
Whereas the varied garden recovers easily. And how does it recover easily? Well, this is perhaps the last point. It has more resources to call on. And by resources, I mean the other plants in the garden that aren't attacked by the same disease or have to withstand the same change.
Yes, a poor garden lacks resources. No resources means little chance of recovery.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that like a rich garden, the local shops in a community are adaptive and healthy. Adaptive means they change according to the needs of the community. Supermarkets, on the other hand, are like the single species in a poor garden. They're invasive and unhealthy.
Invasive?
Yes, they literally invade the environment or community and destroy everything else.
I see. They invade local economies and destroy them, but are themselves subject to changes in the market. I've really never thought of it that way.
Sounds a bit suspect to me. Supermarkets surely can't be that bad.
Just follow us to the food section, Sam, and we'll see if we can't change your mind.
That's the end of part one. You now have 2.5 minutes to tidy up what you've written. Part 2.
In this part, you'll hear the activists talking about the possible impact of supermarkets like Ecost on the local community.
You now have 2 minutes to familiarize yourself with the note headings for Part 2. At the end of Part 2, you'll have 2 minutes to tidy up your answers.
You know, when I was a kid, one of my favourite desserts used to be strawberries dipped in chocolate. And here we have what looks like a strawberry paradise. Endless panettes or plastic boxes of the bright red fruit. Well, these don't have chocolate on them, but do you notice anything in particular about these strawberries?
Are they wild?
No, they're not. Wild strawberries might have a bit more foliage packed with them.
Foliage?
Yes, I mean leaves and stuff. But that image doesn't really fit with the supermarket's idea of uniformity. No, the most significant thing about these strawberries, like most of the fruit and vegetables in this section, is that they're all the same size.
Oh yes, it's like they're clones or something.
Moving on, I'm sure you won't be surprised to discover that these strawberries are all of the same species or variety. They're what's known as El Santa strawberries. The El Santa variety has certain advantages for supermarkets. To begin with, they're grown in different sizes.
But I thought Bob said they were all one size.
Actually, I didn't say that. What Ecost favours is the medium size variety, but there are crops which also produce smaller and larger El Santas.
Oh, I see. So, different sizes.
Secondly, and this is very important, El Santa strawberries are high-yield crops.
Chris won't know how to spell yield. It's Y-E-A-L-D, isn't it?
No, it's I-E, not E-A.
Sorry, Chris.
A third point is that they can be shipped easily, and remember, shipped has two P's.
Shipped easily, right.
And lastly, they have an excellent shelf life. Shelf life means how long they can stay on the supermarket shelf before they go bad.
That all sounds good for the consumer, though.
Is it?
What? What are you doing? You can't open the packet like that. You'll have to buy that now.
Shh. Now. Try one of these.
It doesn't taste of anything.
No, it doesn't, does it? It's completely tasteless. And that's one of the disadvantages for the consumer. You see, the farmers inject them with water.
What?
Yes. Injecting them with water increases the weight, but decreases the flavour.
That's outrageous. Yeah,
but not unique. They do it with tomatoes and even meat.
Another disadvantage to consumers is something we've already pointed out. There's simply no range available. All these strawberries are the same variety. This lack of range is a direct result of the supermarket supply model. As I've mentioned before, this model causes farmers to choose high-yield crops with good shipping qualities, hence the El Santa.
Can you tell us a bit more about the supermarket model? How does it affect the people who grow the produce or make the furniture or whatever? What did you call them?
The suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good question, Alice. All these strawberries are from Fresh Farm Incorporated, one of the largest fruit suppliers in the world. So the first thing you might want to write down is supermarkets choose big international suppliers. And what this means is small local suppliers go out of business. They go out of business because they can't compete with the big suppliers and all the money and resources they have.
And the next thing is, supermarkets set detailed specifications. They specify, for example, that they want a certain size of strawberry with a certain shelf life, delivered by a certain date. Some of these specifications may sound reasonable, but often they're not. The result is, and let's take our strawberries as an example, single varieties are grown, a single type of crop is planted.
And who foots the bill for a change in growing practices? Why? The suppliers, of course. Supermarkets make the suppliers absorb most of the costs. The costs may include changing farming practices, for example, or means of transportation, and even, believe it or not, promotion. This sticker on the box, 20% off, only at e-cost, was paid for by the supplier, not the supermarket itself.
And of course, if the cost of getting their product on the shelves rises, the result is suppliers have to cut costs elsewhere. And by elsewhere, I mean cutting things such as salaries or laying off workers, increasing work hours.
You know, the more I hear about this shop, the more infuriated I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's outrageous. For the price of a few cheap items, so many people have to suffer, not to mention the environment.
That's the end of part two. You now have 2 minutes to tidy up what you've written. Part 3.
In this part, you'll hear the activist talking about the possible impact supermarkets like Ecost have on the global community and how shoppers might improve the situation.
You now have 2 minutes to familiarise yourself with the note headings for Part 3. At the end of Part 3, you'll have 10 minutes to tidy up your answers.
Speaking of Stop and Shop and greetings, have a look at this pie chart we've made of the market share of these supermarket chains. You can see that the majority of the groceries market is still held by wet markets, at just over half. 57% to be exact.
And greetings and Ecost, they look like they have the same share of the market. That's amazing for a new store.
Yes. They may still have only 13% of the market each. But Ecost has only been around for a few years, so its percentage is pretty amazing. It's catching up with Stop and Shop, which has only 4% more of the market at present.
Ecost had a rocky start, though. They began by opening 50 small stores in the middle of 2008. See where the cross is on the graph? Now, take a pencil, move right along the X, or horizontal axis along the bottom of the graph at zero, and draw another cross at a point halfway through 2009. What do you think that tells you?
All the stores closed within the space of a year.
That's right. All because of the economic crisis. But things picked up again, and by June 2010, they were back up to the level where they'd started. Draw another cross to indicate that.
So the cross should be here on the line indicating 50 on the y-axis. Okay.
And by the end of 2010, they had opened up another 50 stores, taking the total up to 100 altogether. Just put a cross where 2010 becomes 2011 on the line that indicates 100. That's right. Now, the forecast for future store development is also dramatic, as they reckon that by the beginning of 2013, they'll have 200 stores in Hong Kong, which is more than Stop and Shop. And that's the last cross you need to draw.
So it'll be the most successful supermarket here. Wow, you've got to hand it to them. That's quite an achievement.
All right, we've pointed out some of the less savoury things about our friendly neighbourhood supermarket. now it's time to really sum up what we stand to lose.
Yes. Why don't you list them as we run through them? Let's think locally first. What does the rise of ECOS mean in terms of local losses?
Well, there's shops to start with. Can I put shops down on my list?
Of course. Local shops just can't compete with supermarkets. And if you lose local shops, you also lose...
Shops?
Exactly. Supermarkets often claim to bring employment opportunities to local communities, but at best they can offer only 70% or so of what local businesses can. A third thing you can list as an important loss is local skills.
What do you mean by skills?
Well, let's take the ECOS fresh meat counter, for example. The people who work there are just shop assistants. They're not butchers. They don't know anything about cutting and preparing meat. The people who ran the local butchers did. But that closed soon after ECOS opened, so those skills are lost now.
Gotcha.
With no local shops, you also lose local character.
You mean people?
No, character. As in local or traditional architecture and atmosphere. All these ECOS stores look, smell and sound the same. They've no character. Finally, at the heart of everything, there's a loss of competition. Because it's the only place to shop, ECOS doesn't have to try hard to please its customers. Without competition, there's no incentive to offer a wider range of better goods.
What about global losses? What do we list for those?
Why not start with diversity? If ECOS continues to offer the same standardized product, then that's what the world will gear itself to produce. More of the same, less of anything different. No more diversity. And that entails for you, the unquestioning consumer, another loss. That is your sense of responsibility. So you want your strawberries to be cheap and plentiful and available all year round. Do you care about the wastage and the working conditions of the fruit pickers when you buy your packet of bright red El Santas? No, not really. Your sense of global responsibility just doesn't exist anymore. And another loss is independence. Hey, there's no A's in independence. And I mean the independence of countries to produce what's best for their own populace rather than what international supermarkets demand. And related to this is the loss of self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency means that a country can look after itself in terms of produce before it has to start satisfying the needs of overseas buyers.
So, those are the losses. And they lead us to a better understanding of what the impacts of ECOS are. I guess you can divide the impacts into three broad categories. Those of landscapes, pollution, and the economy. Would either of you like to suggest an impact for any of these categories?
How about the fact that ECOS dominates the market? I mean, it's effectively a monopoly, isn't it? I suppose that would go in the economy section.
A very good example, Sam. And there's something you could add to that section, which is related to this domination. You see, big chains or monopolies like ECOS are too powerful to regulate. What I'm trying to say is the government can't stop them with regulations because they can often get around them or have enough money to challenge them legally.
Too powerful to regulate.
What about you, Alice? Any suggestions?
Well, you talked about ECOS looking, smelling and sounding the same, so I guess in terms of landscapes, it makes towns look identical.
That's very well observed, Alice. In the UK, they call these identical towns clone towns. If you look around, you can see that's what's happening here.
And what does that big car park outside say to you? Any hidden messages there?
Oh, yes. ECOST encourages the use of private cars.
Uh-huh. Yes, use your car, even if you live just round the corner. Is that a landscape issue or something else?
Well, it's more to do with pollution, isn't it? Encouraging more private cars leads to more carbon emissions.
You're right on the mark, Alice.
But it's not just private cars with all these massive shelves to be filled with produce from all across the world. Isn't ECOST using more vehicles for shipping or transportation than ever before?
Oh, you're hot, Alice. I mean, smart hot. Yes, using more vehicles for shipping is an essential part of ECOST's model and contributes to pollution in a massive way.
And a related point, more to do with landscapes, is that more roads have to be built to support the shipping and transportation.
More roads. Write that one down.
And these roads, which once wound through forested areas, now usually have to run through fields, leading to a third point you can note for landscapes. Forests are cleared for farmland. If the world wants more strawberries, then clear those forests, farm those berries.
But as we all know now, economically, such practices help perpetuate a very fragile system. And you might want to add that to the economy section. The system is very fragile. A week of ash clouds from a remote volcano in Iceland and the whole shipping system comes to a grinding halt.
But what can we do to improve things? I mean, how do we get the better of these supermarkets?
Well, first you can organise a village campaign. It's too late for Pak Thai, but you can still organise your village to campaign.
And then you can complain to the government about supermarkets. Say no to ECOST.
Okay, complain to the government. Good idea.
Then support your local shops. That is, if you have any left. Support them, or they'll soon go out of business.
Yeah. And if you keep the local shops, there'll be plenty of employment opportunities.
But what do we do about the jobs supermarkets offer?
Boycott them.
Boycott? Sorry, what does that mean?
To boycott means to refuse to apply for them. Boycott the jobs ECOST offers. Boycott, spelt BOYCOTT, by the way.
Yes, they'll only pay you the minimum wage anyway.
The next thing is picket the store.
Picket. Now there's another word we don't know, though Chris might think it's something to do with his nose.
One word, Alice, ending in E-T, not I-T, and it means demonstrate outside the store, you know? With posters and placards, that kind of thing. Make people feel guilty about shopping there.
All right, it's time to go to the checkout counter now. I'm not sure I really want these strawberries now. Excuse me, sir. Do you have a loyalty card?
A what?
An ECOST money-back card. Can I interest you in applying for one if you don't already have one? You can get discounts on selected items with the card.
Thanks, but I'm afraid Sam here isn't old enough yet. And besides, there are more disadvantages to having a card than there are to not having one.
If you say so, sir.
The worst thing about these cards is that they're an invasion of your privacy. You have to give ECOST all sorts of personal information when you apply for one, and how the store uses that information is entirely out of your control.
There are lesser evils, too. The cards themselves are not actually free. You have to pay a charge for them every 6 months. The discounts offered do outweigh the charges, but only just. So I'd put the charges as a 4 on your scale.
It's been shown, though, that for many customers, the discounts encourage overbuying. You may end up buying things you don't need. Say, for example, on a 2-for-1 offer for loyalty card holders only. So what you save on discounts, you lose on overbuying. I think that's a worse problem than charging for the card.
Oh, no, Bob. You're forgetting something worse still, and second only to the privacy problem in terms of seriousness. It's that you get targeted for promotional material.
Oh, I hate that stuff. It's just junk mail.
But often it's more than that. It's promotional material specifically aimed at you, because using your loyalty card, the store can develop a shopping profile from your purchases. Maybe you've shown an interest in baby products, so here's our new range of disposable nappies.
Oh, and I've heard stories of people losing bonus points on their cards.
Yeah, those things never work properly.
Hardly a problem, sir, as we always have a written record of the points each customer has earned. Anyway, that'll be $74, please, without the loyalty card.
No, hang on a minute. I don't want to buy those. Someone's already had a pick at them.
Oh, Sam, you'll get us into trouble. Come on, let's get out of here.
But is that a bit of strawberry you have on your chin? Perhaps you'll be kind enough to wait a moment while I call the manager over.
Strawberry? Where? Oh dear. Yes, that's right. I was just trying one, wasn't I? Of course I'll pay. How silly of me.
That's the end of part 3. You now have 10 minutes to tidy up your answers.
Keep your earphones on until you hear the announcement at the end of the 10 minutes.
That's the end of the test. Stop writing now and put down your pencil. Close your question answer book and leave it on the desk in front of you for the invigilator to collect.